In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We don't have to look hard to find persecution of Christians in the world today. Perhaps you remember a few years back, the very striking photo, and there was actually video footage, but you didn't want to watch it, of the 21 Coptic martyrs all dressed in their orange jumpsuits being led by Islamic militants out onto the beach, where every one of them was decapitated. Or perhaps more recently, you may have heard of the atrocities being perpetuated against Christians in Nigeria under Boko Haram, under Sharia law. The devil is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. This is his nature. And he has been in the business of killing Christians all the way back since the blood of innocent Abel was shed. He's been doing this long before he personally appeared to Muhammad and made him his prophet. But the persecution that Jesus warns us against today does not come from without the church. It comes from within. Jesus says, "They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service." Who will put you out of the synagogues? That is, who will excommunicate you from the churches? Not the Muslims. Islam kills Christians, but it doesn't excommunicate them. Jesus is warning us about persecution that will arise from within. Jesus himself knew well this persecution. He lived it every day of his ministry as those who were supposed to be the leaders and shepherds of God's people persecuted Jesus at every turn. Martin Luther also learned of this persecution when he tried to correct abuses in the Catholic Church. In his 95 Theses written against the monetization of forgiveness, Luther actually defends the Pope, saying, if the Pope knew what was being done in his name, that forgiveness was being sold, supposedly to build St. Peter's Cathedral, the Pope would rather that the cathedral be burnt to the ground than built in this wicked way. And then after defending the Pope, Luther received a letter of excommunication from the Pope himself. But Jesus told us this would happen. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. This internal persecution, though it is not as violent as Islam, the devil's personal religion of peace, the internal persecution is perhaps less dangerous to your body, but I think it is more dangerous to your soul. That is because we are more easily tempted to give in to it. If some armed gunman stormed into our church right at this moment and announced, "Everyone here who confesses Christ will die," well, I'm certain that heaven would gain a great number of martyrs in that moment. And then what would happen? The event would be all over the news. Other Christians would be emboldened by our witness. And the devil would lose again. And so he must be craftier. The devil can accomplish far more by persecuting Christians subtly within the church than he can from without. And so you may have faced persecution for Christ, and perhaps you didn't even recognize it at the time. The persecution may simply have been ridicule among your friend group for actually believing that old, antiquated idea that God literally made the world in 6 days out of nothing? What? You don't believe in science? And I've heard this question from Christians. If you go on some of the Lutheran groups online, you'll find many so-called Lutherans saying that they believe in evolution, thinking that they can harmonize these two conflicting beliefs and so avoid the ridicule and scorn of the world. And there is much persecution that has also arisen in the church for those who confess the order of creation and the God-given roles of men and women. Do you believe that God calls the husband and the father to be the spiritual head of the home? Do you believe that? Do you confess with Scripture that it is a curse when men abdicate and women are forced to take up leadership in the church? Do you believe that? If you do, then you can expect to be persecuted by other Christians for your backwards and patriarchal beliefs. And if you don't confess this, then it's very likely that you have been a source of the persecution. The devil uses this internal persecution to draw Christians away from the truth. And the truth is not a concept. The truth is a person. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so when the devil leads Christians away from the truth of God's word, he is leading people away from Jesus and eternal life. And how does the devil do this? Very subtly. He starts with Christians who do confess the truth. He wants to start with you. Let's say about a topic, he doesn't care what the topic is, any topic that he can use to lead Christians away. So he starts today often with marriage. What do the scriptures teach about this? Well, they teach that marriage is the lifelong union between one man and one woman. Simple. End of discussion. No monkey business. One man, one woman for life. Until the wedding invitation arrives in your mailbox, and you find out that your niece is getting married, but not to a man. And she wants you to attend, except it's not actually a wedding that she's asking you to attend. You are being asked to celebrate an unholy union that our Lord condemns. So what should you do? And many Christians will tell you that you should go to the wedding. Even if you don't agree with her, you should go there because you love your niece. And maybe years down the road, because you kept the door open by attending her wedding, you'll have the opportunity to preach the gospel to her later. Well, it sounds good. It's rather persuasive. But really, it means that we can avoid persecution from the rest of the family, all of whom probably claim to be Christians. Though, has this happened to you? Well, if it hasn't, stick around, and it probably will. Jesus warns us in advance of the persecution that comes from within the church. "These things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them." And Jesus warns us so that we will not be easily dissuaded and deceived and fall away from the truth when the persecution comes. "These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble." Among those who claim to be Christians today, those who support homosexuality, the vast majority of them did not start out believing that. They began with the truth. They were against sexual deviancy in the abstract until the abstract became a son or a daughter or a niece. And then suddenly they reversed course, changed their theology, just like the politicians. "I was against it until I was for it." Why? Because they didn't want to suffer for Christ. The Hispanic pastor who used to use our building over at First Lutheran told me that formerly his congregation worshipped in an ELCA church, but then they got kicked out and their lease canceled when it was discovered that he did not support homosexuality. It is exactly as Jesus said, "They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers service to God." And the word "service" there is actually the word liturgy, liturgia in Greek. Those who persecute Christians for being faithful will think that they are performing a liturgy for God. They will think that this persecution is an act of worship. This is what the Apostle Paul thought he was doing before his conversion, going around arresting, harassing, killing Christians, believing that this was an act that pleased God. And none of those within the church who are engaged in this behavior today are setting out intentionally to be wicked. They don't wake up in the morning and say, I want to be evil. They believe that they are serving God. We don't tolerate intolerance in this church. So you must leave. But they are deceived. And they have departed from the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. And they serve as a warning to us lest we also be deceived, trying to avoid persecution and so are led away from Christ. Jesus is the source of all truth. He is, as he says, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. And in order to aid us and comfort us in this persecution, Jesus has sent us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And what does he do? He teaches us all the words of Jesus. Not the words of Jesus that we like, not the parts that we pick, all the words of Jesus. And why is this a comfort? Because only the words of Jesus can deliver life and salvation. And this is what Jesus wants you to have above all else. And so the true church is not the group with the biggest attendance. It's not the folks who have the nicest building with the tallest cathedral. The true church is the one that gathers around the words of Jesus. As the Lutheran reformers said to the papacy, the true church is not the one who sits in a special chair or has a special hat. Wherever the words of Jesus are taught in truth and purity, wherever the sacraments are rightly administered, there is the true church. And though the church suffers persecution, though all the hosts of hell without and within are arrayed against her, they will not overcome. For Jesus has promised, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. May the Holy Spirit keep us ever within this body of believers, unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.